A little background. Based on 2013 data, 7 out of 10 children in West Virginia's welfare system were placed in either a group home, residential treatment facility, psychiatric institution, or emergency shelter. These could be either in or out of state. Karen Bowling is the DHHR cabinet secretary. She says the old welfare system was flawed.
There was a pretty significant recognition on our part that we weren't necessarily doing the evidence-based practices that we should be doing to really impact the 12 to 17-year-old age group and their families.
The new program is called Safe at Home. It allows West Virginia to use the federal money traditionally allotted to pay for out-of-home care and repurpose it towards support services designed to help children either return to or stay in their home community. This could be help in the form of counseling services or parent education.
What the child welfare leaders across the country are doing is advocating for a total change in the way that the federal government funds child welfare services to ensure that they're not just funding out-of-home care, but they're funding also or allowing states to have the flexibility to fund community-based services as well.
Bowling says that part of the issue in this state is that West Virginia doesn't have a lot of money. The federal funds available for state foster care costs just pay for a child's room, board, and supervision, not community-based support services. But child welfare organizations, like the National Children's Bureau, agree that children are best served in the family setting. Nancy Exline is the commissioner for the Bureau of Children and Families. She says in the past, the state has
engaged the kid, not the family, not the dynamics around the family, not all of the dynamics around the child. And so it is looking at all of that and not just looking at behaviors of the child. How does the child's behavior interact with their parent or their siblings or whatever, and making sure all of that comes into place.
They do this by providing regional facilitators who make sure children and families have access to whatever services they need to be successful. I asked if I could talk to a child or family that the program affects. The DHHR declined my request, citing privacy for families still involved in open child protective services cases, but sent me to Mindy Thornton, the Children's Program Director and Children's Outreach Liaison for the Prestera Center in Huntington. She agreed to talk about a patient's story in very general terms.
One of our first cases that we received, he was placed out of state in Ohio, and we got the chance to actually go to Ohio and visit him in his residential treatment facility.
She was quick to point out that this was not something providers usually do, but that it gave her an opportunity to assess the situation.
The one thing that stuck out in my mind most about that visit is he told us that he was going to be there through high school. And this young man was in middle school.
She told me the boy had mental and behavioral health challenges, but wouldn't give specifics beyond aggressiveness that had caused his parents to seek outside help.
That was in October, and he came home mid-February to his home, not to, you know, a foster home, not to an in-state residential. He came home. He completed his treatment program. We did a lot of things with him while he was there.
He began to have weekly contact with the new Safe at Home facilitator in his region. Meanwhile, Safe at Home provided training to the family on how to deal with his disorder.
The stepmom was new to the situation, and she was worried that she wouldn't be able to handle his behaviors in the evenings before his dad got home. And so what we did in that is we just found staff to be there when he got home from school, to be with her, to encourage her, to be the parent that we knew she would be able to be.
After a couple of days, the stepmom decided she was fine on her own, and the extra staff stopped coming.
Now he's doing well in school. He's in a special class. You know, he's not in the general population all the time, but he's in his school, in his home community, and he's doing really well.
West Virginia's plan for Safe at Home was approved in 2014. In October of 2015, they began implementing the pilot program in 11 counties. By March 2016, they had referred more than 100 youth to the program and were soliciting applications from new counties. In May, data will be published from a third-party evaluator to assess how successful Safe at Home has been. Again, Commissioner Nancy Exline.
West Virginia has one of the highest rates of congregate care in the country. one of the highest rates. And so if West Virginia is successful at this, and as that data starts to come in, it really builds the case for all of the child welfare leaders to be able to say, this works. Children have better outcomes if you allow states to use their funds more flexibly and not just paying for out-of-home care.
X-Line says this program may make a real difference in the lives of West Virginia's children, and maybe even children in states across the country. Because if they are successful, other states might say, if they can do it there, then we can replicate it here. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support from the Benedum Foundation.